It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening, and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years. Tonight and every Sunday evening, 5 p.m. Central Time, that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear this show again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com, that's drmarakarpel.com, or going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information about upcoming shows and previous shows, again, go to my website or go to Blog Talk Radio or follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. Want to contact me? Send me an email to Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, or go through my website or give me a call at 512-626-6973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can give him a call at 512-261-7909 or send him an email to rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available Amazon. This evening's program is also sponsored by the Bra Ladies, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. This evening's program is also sponsored by Storyhouse. Storyhouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have Storyhouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. Storyhouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. And today is Sunday, May the 22nd, and we are back live in beautiful Austin, Texas. And this evening, Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of the show, is with us to do the production engineering for the show. And he'll be answering your calls if you call later with any questions. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City practicing in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers. And for the past few years, I've been evaluating veterans for PTSD. Well, we're going to get on with this show because it's a really packed show. And joining us this evening in a few minutes, we have Dr. Michael Grieger, who's going to join us to talk about his latest best-selling book, How Not to Die. And Dr. Grieger is a physician, New York Times best-selling author, an internationally recognized professional speaker, and much, much more. And currently, Dr. Grieger serves as the Director of Public Health and Animal Agriculture at the Humane Society of the United States all around the world, including the Conference on World Affairs and National Institutes of Health. And he's appeared on shows such as the Colbert Report and the Dr. Oz Show. So we're going to talk with him in just a few moments, and I'm really excited about that. And then Dr. Lucille Ijoy, a.k.a. Grandmama Ijoy, Executive Director of the Motivation Institute of Philadelphia, recently made a rap video with her original song, and it's gone viral. So 84-year-old Grandmama Ijoy joins us to talk about her viral video. And we'll be playing a little bit of her song for you. And to top it off, cellist Tanya Anisimova will be calling in from Washington, D.C. to talk about her career in music, and we'll be playing some of her music. And I will be talking about humor for coping with stress. And throughout this evening's program, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air. And you can email to Dr. Mara at drmaracarpell.com, and you can tweet me at M-A-R-A-E-K. So we're going to take a very quick break, and don't go anywhere because coming up right after the break, nutritional expert, medical doctor, Dr. Michael Grieger joins us. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Carpell will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaracarpell.com.
And we are back. And joining me on the phone to talk about his newest book, How Not to Die, and about his cutting-edge revolutionary nutritional research, Dr. Michael Grieger. So welcome, Dr. Grieger.
Thank you so much. Pronounced Gregor, but same thing.
Gregor. Okay. Now I got it right. Just to let you know, when we talk like this, there is a slight delay. So just keeping that in mind. So I'm very excited to have you on the show. Really have been enjoying your book, and I've been subscribing to your newsletter from nutritionfacts.org for quite a while, and it keeps me up to date on what I should and shouldn't be eating. And when I read the beginning of your book about your background and about your story regarding why you went into medicine, it's really, really interesting. So maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about your background.
Sure. Yeah, it was really all my grandma. That's why I went into medicine. I think the spark for many kids to want to be a doctor when they grow up is watching a grandparent get sick or even die. But for me, it was watching her get better. I was just a little kid when my grandma was sent home in a wheelchair to die. She had end-stage heart disease. She basically had so many bypass surgeries, you run out of plumbing at some point. So confined to wheelchair, crushing chest pain, nothing more they could do. Her life was over at age 65. Then she heard about this guy, Nathan Pritikin, one of our early lifestyle medicine pioneers, and she became one of his early success stories. She's actually featured in Pritikin's biography. He talks about Francis Gregor, who arrived in a wheelchair. Within they wheeled her in and she walked out. Within a few weeks, she was walking 10 miles a day.
Wow.
She was given her medical death sentence at age 65. Thanks to a healthy diet, was able to live another 31 years on this earth to age 96 to enjoy
wow.
her six grandkids, including me. And so that is why I went to medicine, and that is why I practice the type of medicine I practice, which is lifestyle medicine.
And I understand that your website, nutritionfacts.org, with all of the latest research, everything is free. You don't even have any corporate sponsors paying for that.
Absolutely so, free. NutritionFacts.org is a free nonprofit, science-based public service, providing daily updates on the latest in nutrition research via kind of bite-sized videos, more than 1,000 videos, nearly every aspect of healthy eating. New videos and articles uploaded every day at NutritionFacts.org.
And your book, you know, and I read that your profits all go to charity. I mean, this is a labor of love, and it's certainly a passion for you.
Absolutely. Everything on the website is free. There's no ads, no corporate sponsorship, strictly non-commercial, not selling anything. Just put it up as a labor of love, as a public service. All the proceeds I get from the sale of my books and DVDs and speaking engagements all goes to charity. It's all about just getting empowering information into the hands of as many people as possible.
And that's just, I mean, that when I read that, I said, I have to get you on the show. So maybe you can, you know, talk a little bit about the standard American diet and, you know, kind of give a little, I know we don't have a lot of time, it's, you know, there's a lot of information that you have, but just kind of an idea for listeners why the standard American diet is so toxic.
Well, the Global Burden of Disease study, the largest study on risk factors ever published in medical literature, funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, found that the number one cause of death and the number one cause of disability in the United States is our diet, bumping tobacco smoking to number two. Now cigarettes only kill about 500,000 Americans every year, whereas our diet kills hundreds of thousands more. And that's because all you have to do is look down the list of our leading killers to see why that's the case. Our number one killer of both men and women is heart disease. Heart disease is a disease that can be prevented, arrested, and reversed with a healthy enough diet. That's a diet centered around whole plant foods. You can open up arteries without drugs, without surgery. And so this was demonstrated in a randomized controlled trial back in 1990, in July 1990, published in the most prestigious medical journal in the world by Dr. Dean Ornish and colleagues, proving that that heart disease can be reversed. Yet since then, hundreds of thousands of people have continued to die from this reversible, preventable killer unnecessarily. I just figured, wait a second, if effectively the cure to our number one killer could get lost down some rabbit hole and ignored, what else might be buried in the medical literature that could help my patients? Well, I made it my life's mission to find out. That's what led me to start NutritionFacts.org, and that would led me to write the new book.
Okay. And this book pretty much covers every disease that Americans suffer from or die from, and how nutrition can be the cure.
I have chapters on the role diet may play in preventing, arresting, or reversing each of our 15 leading causes of death. So just a chapter on each. And so I actually don't get into leading causes of disability like, you know, arthritis and back pain and things like that. As per the title, I'm just talking about our leading killers.
Right. So, you know, I was listening today to one of your videos on your website on Nutrition Facts, and one of the things that you said was that a chicken wing is worse than a cigarette. So could you explain that?
So I believe that was a quote from a press release about a pivotal article published in a journal called Cell Metabolism that chicken wing you're eating could be as deadly as a cigarette. That was the quote. So this is based on research following thousands of people for 18 years. Showing that eating lots of animal protein, so meat, egg white, and dairy protein during middle age, quadruples one's risk Of dying from cancer, about a 75% increase in premature mortality, period, across the board, but specifically quadrupling one's risk, a fourfold increase in risk of dying from cancer, which is comparable to what one gets from smoking cigarettes. And so that was where that came
mm-hmm.
from, but it wasn't specifically chicken wings. They just used that as an example. They're talking
right.
about all animal proteins. Any type of meat, egg white, and dairy protein. And they think it's because of the IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor 1, which is a cancer-promoting growth hormone involved in the acquisition and progression of malignant tumors. And the more animal protein one eats, the higher one's level of IGF-1 goes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so you were talking about how the animal protein can lead to more cancer, diabetes. I mean, you know, the list goes on.
No, so diabetes, we think, is actually because of the animal fat. So saturated fat in general can build up inside one's muscle cells, something called intramyocellular lipid, where little bits of fat kind of clog up the insulin signaling system. So that's the current theory as to the cause of insulin resistance, which is what underlies both prediabetes and type 2 diabetes. But in a matter of weeks, one can improve one's insulin sensitivity, drop people's blood sugar medication, sometimes get them off insulin completely just by switching one's diet to a whole food plant-based diet. So that's a diet that's centered around fruits, vegetables, legumes, beans, split peas, chickpeas, and lentils, whole grains, nuts and seeds, mushrooms, herbs, and spices, basically real food that grows out of the ground. Those are our healthiest choices, while minimizing the intake of meat, eggs, dairy, and processed junk.
So can you talk a little bit about sugar, since we're talking about diabetes? So I was reading in your book that, you know, a lot of people who are diabetic are afraid to eat fruit because it's high in sugar. And you talk in your book about how that's not really the case, that the sugar from fruit is not so bad for diabetics.
In fact, if you there have been studies done where you randomize diabetics, type 2 diabetics, into two groups, one told to minimize their fruit intake, and the other group told to encourage to eat more fruit than they currently are, you actually have better improvement in blood sugar control in those that are eating more fruit, adding more fruit to their diet. And this is because they're eating healthier diets. I mean, the cause of type 2 diabetes, type 2 diabetes manifests as increased sugar in the blood, but that's because your muscles primarily, although also your liver, but your muscles primarily aren't able to uptake that sugar out of the blood, so the sugar builds up in the bloodstream. But the cause is this insulin resistance. The cause is that we have a problem with our muscles, and it just manifests as increased blood sugar. It's not caused by sugar. In fact, there's a famous series of experiments done at Duke University by Dr. Kempner, who was able to reverse diabetes with the most abysmal, horrible diet, which is basically table sugar and white rice. The so-called rice diet. And, of course, he doesn't recommend people actually do this, but he just experimentally was shown that you can by eliminating animal fat, by eliminating sodium from the diet, one can reverse some of our kind of leading chronic disease killers like hypertension, like the type 2 diabetes. And we have experimental evidence going back a century now showing this. But unfortunately, I mean, it's not well understood, and so that's why I see the value of websites like mine, where I can just translate this mountain of evidence that already exists, has existed for a century, and for decades now, and it's just a matter of getting it out to the public. So I mean, the study that really that was really kind of the pivotal moment. This was back in the 70s. where they basically put diabetics on a plant-based diet. Within 2 weeks, half the diabetics were off of all their insulin. So we had diabetics who were had diabetes for 20 years off all insulin in 13 days. And this is without any weight loss. You say, well, of course, you know, eating healthy, you lose weight, then cure your diabetes. No, they force people to eat so much good food, they maintain their weight, but still got rid of their diabetes. How is that possible? Mm-hmm. They were eating the whole food, plant-based diets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, a few years ago, I myself had an issue with blood sugar. I've always been very blood sugar, you know, very sensitive to sugar, and I guess my diet wasn't very good at the time, and it went up a little bit. And I read Dr. Furman's book about diabetes and the effect of plant-based diet, and I was able to bring down my blood sugar by...
Oh, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Great.
So it's kind of a self-experiment.
Right. I mean, so the critical thing to look at is fasting blood sugars, right? I mean, so anyone, like you eat a banana, your blood sugar is going to go up. That's a natural, normal response. That's what's supposed to happen. But it's the fasting blood sugar. So it's sugar first thing in the morning. That should tell you how well your body is able to deal with your sugar. So that gives you a sense of the function of your liver, muscles, and pancreas that regulates your blood sugar. And
mm-hmm.
so you add more fruit and other healthy foods to your diet, what you'll see is your fasting sugars start to come down, and that's really what we care about.
Right.
That gives a sense of your insulin sensitivity.
Right. Remember seeing one of your articles about eggs and diabetes. How do eggs impact somebody who has diabetes?
So eating even less than an egg a day is associated with increased risk of diabetes. And in diabetics who already have diabetes, egg consumption, again, even small amounts of eggs, is associated with increased risk of mortality. So people with diabetes already are at increased cardiovascular risk, and egg consumption seems particularly detrimental for those that eat for those with diabetes. So, for example, a Harvard Physicians Health Study, men without diabetes eating less than an egg a day were not at increased risk for dying. They had to eat actually, you know, 7 eggs a week or more. So actually an egg a day or more was associated with increased risk. However, diabetic men, even less than an egg a day, may increase risk of dying, as well as getting diabetes in the first place.
So the eggs can actually cause diabetes?
Well, we don't know, because there hasn't been an interventional study. I mean, we can't prove cause and effect with observational or population studies. So, but what we have shown is that after controlling for as many factors as we can statistically, we can show that people that eat eggs are more likely to develop diabetes. Now, is it possible that there are some confounding factors? So, for example, maybe people that eat eggs are more likely to smoke. And smokers are more likely to get diabetes. Okay, well, we can control for that because we know we can effectively compare egg eaters, non-smoking egg eaters, to non-smoking non-egg eaters, and vice versa. But you can never always control for all the factors. There may be some unknown confounding factor that's associated both with diabetes and with egg consumption that's really the causal factor, and is just kind of confounding the results. So what one would need is an interventional study where you take people, split them up into two groups, and you give eggs a half, and you have the other half abstain from eggs, and you follow them over time. And you see who gets diabetes, who doesn't, and that stuff.
Right. Right. That makes sense. So, you know, what about, you know, the people who say that, so for example, I've had two situations where I was confronted, like angrily confronted by someone who didn't like the fact that I wasn't eating meat. one was a medical doctor who I happened to be working with in a clinic, who was very upset and said it was irresponsible that I talk about plant-based nutrition on this radio show. And another one was someone sitting next to me at a luncheon, and they insisted it was irresponsible and that there's, you don't have enough iron and you don't have enough protein.
Well, so these are people that have not cracked open a journal in their lives. I mean, these people just don't know what the available science is. I mean, you know, I mean, look, this is, you know, for decades, we had an overwhelming mountain of evidence linking smoking with lung cancer. So, you know, famed surgeon DeBakey, with studies in the 30s linked smoking and lung cancer, yet we didn't have the first Surgeon General's report till 1964. What happened in those decades? The American Medical Association came out and said that smoking, on balance, is beneficial. Smoking in moderation, perfectly fine. This is despite decades of data showing that smoking was harmful, yet it was normal. Everybody smoked. The majority of physicians themselves smoked, just like the majority of physicians today continue to eat foods that are contributing to our epidemic of dietary diseases, and they're just not willing to look at the science and see the World Health Organization last year came out, said processed meat was a group one carcinogen. That's classed in the same class as cigarette smoke and asbestos. We are as sure that processed meat causes cancer than we are that these other carcinogens cause cancer. Yet, look, there's warning labels on cigarettes. There's regulations about smoking. Yet people continue to send their kids to school with deli meats. Something that we know causes cancer, whereas unprocessed meat is still just a probable human carcinogen. It's a definite processed meat is a definite human carcinogen. Yet, why is it still? You know, why don't people know about this?
That's a good question. You know, I think a lot of people feel overwhelmed and they're not willing to make a change. I know that you mentioned that in your video that the people in these health organizations are afraid it'll be too overwhelming, so they don't want to give people the information.
Well, and so, right, so it's a patronizing attitude. But, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, look, give people the information, and it's up to them. Look, it's your body, your choice. You want to smoke cigarettes? Go for it. You want to go bungee jumping? Whatever you want to do, you know, go for it if you're of age. You make your own decisions as to how to live and how to eat, but we should make these choices consciously, educating ourselves about the predictable consequences of our actions. And what we as physicians can do is inform our patients what are those predictable consequences. People in your situation that tend to smoke two packs a day are at this X amount of risk more than someone, then if you quit, you'll reduce your risk this much, and then it's totally up to you. It's your body. You go for it, right?
Right.
And the same thing with diet. You know, if you eat this way, these are the likely consequences. It's not definitely going to happen, but it's increased risk compared to improving your diet. And then, as far as I'm concerned, our job is done. And then we can give tools, resources as to how to make the transition, make it healthier, make it easier, make it more convenient. Beyond that, you know, it's people can live their own lives. But I think people just don't know the power that they have. We have tremendous power over our health, destiny, and longevity. The vast majority of premature death and disability is preventable with a plant-based diet and other healthy lifestyle behaviors.
So what do you recommend for people who might be listening who are thinking, wow, this is so overwhelming, I don't know how to make this change, it's so extreme. Are there small steps that they can take that can help to lead to improved health?
Absolutely. Look, we can get rid of the worst, like trans fats, hydrogenated vegetable oils, processed meat, and we can add some of the best, like berries, the healthiest fruits, dark green leafy vegetables, the healthiest vegetables, beans. These are the healthiest choices. And just by, adding healthy foods to our diet, we crowd out some of the less healthy choices. And there's wonderful resources out now. One of my favorites that I offer to all my patients is this 21-day Kickstart program offered by the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. It's totally free. Hundreds of thousands of people have already done it. It's in a bunch of languages around the world. Basically, the first day of every single month, you sign up for the thing. It goes for 21 days, and you're part of kind of a social media group. You do it all together, and you get daily tips and recipes and meal plans and just kind of ways to, give you tools to to start making this transition for your family. Doctors often complain they don't have time to tell their patients about, to even ask about their diets. But look, something like that, just send people, look, here's a good book, China Study, here's a good documentary, Forks Over Knives, here's a great website, 21daykickstart.org, let's talk next time you come in.
Right. Right. And I love the what you said on your video when people have said that it's so extreme that and maybe I'm getting the quote wrong, so you might want to say it, but it was something about how bypass surgery is extreme and bean burrito is easy.
Right. Getting your chest cracked open. I mean, literally chest cracked open. For bypass surgery, that's extreme, right? Eating, pasta primavera is easy, absolutely. people just underestimate the power that diet can have. It's no wonder that people rely on pills and procedures. Patients in general believe that cholesterol-lowering statin drugs, for example, are about 20 times more effective than they actually are in preventing heart attacks. Leading killers aren't caused by drug deficiencies. The dirty little secret is that most people surveyed said they would not be willing to take many of these drugs, blood pressure drugs, blood thinning drugs, osteoporosis, preventing drugs, if they knew how little benefit they actually offered, whereas treating the actual cause of many of these diseases by cleaning up their diet is not only safer and cheaper, but can be more effective in preventing, treating, and reversing our leading causes of death.
Right, right. So what we learned when we were kids, eat your greens, is really, really
I wish you well, if you did learn that, then you are lucky, absolutely. Right, but it need not be some great overcooked lump on some, cafeteria tray. You can make greens delicious. You just got to cook them right, season them right, put some good sauces on them, and those are the kind of resources that are now available now. It's worth it because what could be more important than your family's health?
That's right. That's right. So Dr. Greger, how can people read more about you, see your videos, buy your book?
Everyone can go.
You have a couple of websites.
Yes. Well, nutritionfacts.org is the place to go. I also have a free app that goes along, both Android and iPhone app, that goes along with a book called Dr. Greger's Daily Dozen, which just goes through a checklist of all the my recommendations for all the things I try to fit into my daily routine. The book is called How Not to Die. All my work is available free at nutritionfacts.org.
Great, and it's a great resource. I really appreciate you being on this evening's program. We could probably talk for hours. There's a lot of information. So maybe you can come back sometime.
I would love to. In fact, I'd love to get down to Austin. I was just there. What was that? Book People? Is that the big bookstore there? I was speaking. Yeah. So I did a thing there, but I was in and out one day. I think I had to drive to like Houston the next morning. Hopefully I'll come back to Austin soon. I had a great time.
Yeah, let me know. I would love to meet you.
Great.
And maybe you can be on the program live in our studio.
I'd be even better.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, you take care and have a wonderful evening.
You too. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. And after the break, Grandmama iJoy and her viral video. So don't go anywhere. We will be back in just a moment.
Sit here in my rocking chair, my mind begins to wonder. Grandma thinks it's time to say thank you to Obama. My heart begins to wonder. Say thank you to Obama. My hands begin to wonder. Say thank you to Obama. My feet begin to wonder. Say thank you to Obama. Dear, listen to Grandmama. Say thank you to Obama. Maybe you learned to thank folks a long time ago, but now that Grandma helped you with the rhythm and the flow. So when someone gives you something, something real good, listen to Grandmama and say thank you like you should. My heart begins to wonder. Say thank you to Obama. My hands begin to wonder. Say thank you to Obama. My feet begin to wonder. Say thank you to Obama. Here, listen to Grandmama. Say thank you to Obama. Break it down. Come on, take it to the wall. No, that's just not right. He keeps on signing many bills, working day and night with his left hand. With his left hand.
Yes,
now you listen to it, Mama. Say thank you to Obama. Listen to Grandmama. Say thank you to Obama. Here, listen to Grandmama. Say thank you to Obama. Here, listen to Grandmama. Say thank you to Obama. I think you are aware of Obamacare. Yes, I think you are aware of Obama. Watch your manners now. Just watch them, because I want you to do something here. Listen to Grandmama. Say thank you to Obama. Listen to Grandmama. Say thank you to Obama. Here. Listen to Grandmama. Say thank you to Obama.
And that was the video. That was so great.
I'm laughing myself. Oh, my goodness. Marva? Hello?
Joining me on the phone is Dr. Lucille iJoy, a.k.a. Grandmama iJoy.
Hi, Mara.
Hi there. That was just great. So Grandmama iJoy, Dr. iJoy, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and then how this video came about?
All righty. Well, I got married when I was 19 because I knew everything, you see? So after I got married, had two children, it came to me, you just got out of high school. You got to go to college. And I started college when I was 27, and I stayed in for 14 years, and I just loved it, you know, and I was always trying to find new things to do. And I went to a college that they didn't take women in the daytime, so it was all right with me because, you know, I said, okay, I'll go at night. And I went at night, and it was really a really good place, and they treated me just very well. It was beautiful. It was St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia. So then after that experience, then I went to Temple University, and I got my master's and a doctorate there. Then after I worked a few years, then I said, I need to learn more about families because I couldn't figure out why children weren't learning in school. No matter what you did, they would just be stuck. But once I started, I went to become a family therapist. Then it all came together, and I knew that was the work I wanted to be into in addition to education. So a family therapist, and from there, you know, I was just moving around. Then I traveled 5 years with Reverend Sullivan all over the United States, went to 130 cities, and I did workshops in reference to stress and families and parenting and recovery and just all kinds of things. And it's just been that kind of travel for me. If I think of an idea, I just get up and do it, Mara.
So, you know, and you're going to come back in a month, and we're going to talk about how you're at 84 years old, you're still working as a marriage and family therapist, and how
yes.
you have all this energy for traveling around and doing this. But now let's talk about the video. How did you come up with this rap video? And I have to tell you, listeners need to watch it because, you know, Dr. Ijoy breaks some moves in that video.
Well, Marva, it didn't start off to be a video, a rap video. I went to a studio, the studio of a man named Bill Jolly. He's a well-known, he's won two Grammys and all. And I said, let me just go and see if he'll do this little song for me. I had a different song. When I went over there, he says, well, let me see. After he heard me sing, I guess he said, you know. And he said, can you rap? I said, I don't know. I was hesitant. And he said, well, look, I'm going to put some beats behind the words that you're saying here. And he did. And that's the beats that you hear, undergirding the words. And from that point on, we clicked. He would do the beats, and I would do the words, and he would add words, and we had a really good time doing that. Now, once it became a YouTube, then he says, oh, you know, I'm going to put this on YouTube. Well, I'm not a real computer-type person. I didn't even understand so much how you put it on. So he was leading me through these various things, and that's how that worked out. And
okay.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's you. Is that you dancing in the video?
Well, that what happened when I got to the studio, and, you know, he could see what kind of dancing could I do, but I do my bit, you know? So he said, you know what, I saw a young lady in a program I did for school here in Philadelphia, and I think she would be just about your height, and I think she could come over here and add something to this by you two doing that together. Well, she came to the studio, 14 years old. I had my gray wig on. I took it off. I put it on her. I had a red shirt on. I took it off and put that on her. She went into a little green room where he does his things in the studio, and she did whatever she did with the music, and then I did whatever I did with the music separately, and he spliced it together. Now, how he did that, I would not know. But if you look closely, and maybe not that closely, you'll see that Ijoy is doing her part at 84, and the 14-year-old, she's all down on the floor doing her part.
Okay. But you did a lot of the dancing, I can tell, because I saw your face while you were dancing.
Yes. So it was really fun doing that. And he went to Australia. He did swim in the tank with the sharks. So he took that picture and put me in the tank some kind of way. He did that. I don't know how. He was doing all kinds of things, you know. So it was really a lot of fun working with him and doing what I do. And, you know, he did what he did.
So this video has gone all over the place, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. The last I heard, it's about 250,000 hits, and so it's
wow.
And the last thing I heard yesterday, a woman from St. John's in the Virgin Islands, St. John's teacher, she got her students to do this, listen to Grandmama say thank you to Obama, and they're doing it there in the Virgin Islands. I said, I can't believe it.
And you've been interviewed all over the place. I see constantly posts about you being interviewed by different radio stations and newspapers.
That's
right. Have you done several interviews?
Yes, I have. At least three or four in different places around. And then the newspapers, you know, all the papers and a couple papers that are not just local. So we're just trying to keep up with it, you know, keep up with the various things that are going on.
Yeah.
And just moving around, gently talking about everywhere I go, just, uh-oh, here comes Grandmama.
So it's all been a positive response.
Yes, it has. Mm-hmm. So it's been fun, it's been positive, and it's serious because I think that Obama has done many things, and I want people to just say thank you. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to even let me know they're saying it. Just in their own spirit, if they care to do that, when somebody does something for you, I think you ought to say thank you, you know.
Right. Yeah, I like that, you know, it's listen to your grandmama. When somebody does something good for you, you say thank you.
That's right. And, you know, years ago, I don't know if you had your grandmother in your life, but most grandmothers, yeah, it's wonderful. They always say, make sure you say thank you now. You know, they make you say these little words, thank you and please and may I, you know, that kind of thing. It's so basic, it's just basic, you know. And that's how all this came about. I did send somebody, at least I didn't do it, but somebody sent Obama the Facebook link or the YouTube link.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But he's
and,
seen it?
Well, you know, it takes a long time when you do that. I did make some buttons call. President Obama, you're doing a real good job. I made the buttons. They were pressed, and I sent him a box of the buttons. And he did write back. He wrote me a letter.
He did. What did he say?
It said, thank you for your generous gift, and something like that. And I appreciate your work, you know, something like that. And it was on the White House paper. And it wasn't real long, and he sent me pictures of himself and Michelle, First Lady Michelle, and the two girls and the two dogs. Sonny and Bo. Those are the two dogs, Sonny and Bo.
I wonder if he's seen your video.
Well, I think when I sent him the buttons, it took about almost 3 months before the letter came.
Right.
I suppose he gets millions of letters and requests.
I'm sure.
I was, you know, I was just surprised to even get that back. And I wasn't really looking for it, you know. I just said, well, if he does, if not, it's still out there.
That's right. That's right.
That's exactly
but
right.
I think he will appreciate the video if he gets to see it. So
yes,
I hope
yes.
that he does.
Oh, and it's funny because when you send something to people like that that are high profile, you can't wait, you can't look, you can't wish. All you can do is say, well, if it gets lost in the mail, that's still okay. You know, it's still out there, you know. But
right.
I think that he will do that eventually, and if not, then that's still okay, you know.
It's still okay. You had a 250,000 people who saw it. So
that's exactly
pretty good.
Right. That's exactly. And I went somewhere last night. It was somebody's birthday party, and they said, and I did it for them. You know, I brought the YouTube link there, and the man put it on his equipment, and I did that for them at the party. It was like the showtime. Oh, that was funny. That was funny, you know.
That is funny. It has a very catchy beat to it.
Yes,
very catchy tune.
That's
it
right.
gets stuck in your head.
It does. Somebody said, I was dreaming of that last night. I said, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And one of the interviewers from Chasing New Jersey, that's the name of that interview station, Fox in New Jersey, he did something with it. He came to the studio and we did an interview. Then he showed himself in the bed with this image of Grandmama saying that over his head. That was I couldn't believe he did that.
That's funny.
It was funny. And he said, well, teach me how to do the rap. How do you do the rap? And then we did that a little bit. We had some fun with that. And also that was Sergio. And then Cherry Gregg from CBS, she came and we did an interview, and she also said, well, let's sing it together, you know. And so even now, you and I, we could sing it together, Mara, and it would make a hit. I'm telling you.
Well, I don't know if you're going to get me to sing, but that's okay.
It's not singing, Mara. It's just rapping. Listen to Graham. You already said it. Let me hear you say it, Mara. Come on, Mara, say it. Let's see.
So
listen to Grandmama. Say thank you to Obama.
Say thank you to Obama.
All right, now we're going to say it together. Here we go. Say it two times. Listen to Grandmama. You ready? Okay,
yes.
Here we go, Mara. Here we go. Listen to Grandmama. Say thank you to Obama. And then you say
it's hard because we have a delay, so we're not actually saying it at the same time.
Oh, that might be. That's still interesting. That's interesting.
That's interesting. That would be interesting. That's like an echo.
That's right.
So,
but it's fun.
So, Dr. Ijoy, how can people see this video?
Mm-hmm.
How can they see it themselves?
All righty. So those who know YouTube, they would just go to their YouTube apparatus on their computer, and they would type in listentograndmama.com.
Listentograndmama.com.
And okay. The mama is MOMMA, and it's all one
okay.
word. Listentograndmama.com. Or they could
okay.
go. Or they could go to facebook.com/ listen to Grandmama.
Okay.
And
okay.
That would come
I'm going to be posting these links on my web post about this show on my website.
Okay. Alrighty.
Later tonight. So
alrighty.
If anybody missed it, they didn't get their pen and paper out in time, they could just go to my website later tonight and
okay.
They could just click on those links and it'll take them to those pages.
Oh,
so they could watch it.
Fun. That would be fun.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the interview, Marva.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on this evening. And I'm looking forward to speaking to you again in June.
That would be good. And that's a fun subject. I like the subject that we're having in June also.
Yes, yes. That I think is really interesting and perfect for this program.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, you
all
have
right.
A good evening. And thank you,
and
Grandmama.
Thank you, Marva. And thank you for all the work you did, because I was back and forth, Marva, I can't, whatever. And you just helped me come to be on this program this evening, and I want to thank you again.
Okay. You're welcome, and thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
And you have a good evening, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. So stick around. We're going to take a quick break. And after the break, I'm going to talk a little bit about humor for healing. And then we have cellist Tanya Anisimova, who will be joining us from Washington, D.C. to talk about her music, and we'll be playing some of her music. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaracarpel.com. And now before I talk a bit about humor, I just want to catch you up on the news for this show. So we are getting closer and closer every day to our new Roku channel, which for those who are unfamiliar, Roku is a way of getting internet television. And we are going to have our own station on Roku, and I will be announcing it here when we are on Roku and how you can access it. And you can also check my Facebook page, because I will be announcing it there as well. And we have videos of the interviews when the guests are here in Austin and they come to the studio. So for those interviews where the guests were here in Austin and they came to the studio, you'll be able to see what they look like. And I think, you know, sometimes there's some subtle things, differences that you get from watching a video than just listening to the interview on the radio. And, you know, both are good, but it's nice to have a visual, and that's pretty exciting. And we also have a YouTube station where you can see shorter videos. And You can see all of those on my website, drmaracarpel.com, and just click on videos, and you can see all of the YouTube videos that we have uploaded so far. And my latest blog in Huffington Post was published at the beginning of this month, May the 4th, and that was Taming the Inner Troll. And you can find that on my website under publications and on my Facebook page or by searching my name on Huffington Post. I have several. For the past year, I've been publishing on Huffington Post. And there is another one coming out very soon, probably this week. So keep your eye open for that. I'll be posting that also on my Facebook page, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years, and on my website. Okay, so So we're listening to the laughter of a baby. And that's because I'm going to talk about humor and how important it is for our health and our well-being. So sometimes just listening to laughter, have you ever noticed that if you just listen to somebody laughing, it will make you laugh? Laughter is very contagious, and it's a beneficial type of contagion. So that's one of the ways to get yourself to laugh is just by listening or watching other people laugh or just making yourself laugh, just faking it, and soon you're not faking it anymore. You're really laughing. And think about it. When was the last time that you had a real belly laugh where you just couldn't stop laughing and your sides were hurting and you had tears streaming down your face? When was the last time that happened? If you can remember when that was, how did you feel after you finished laughing? I would imagine that most of you, as with myself, it felt really, really good. Laughter is so powerful. And I find for myself that if I'm in a down mood or a gloomy mood or feeling stressed out by too much work or things going on, you know, in life, just daily hassles, that watching something funny on television or going to a funny movie that really makes me laugh completely changes my mood, so that when I finish laughing, I feel great. And my perspective about whatever it was that caused the stress or caused me to feel a little bit down or just not myself really has changed. Laughing changes our perspective. And, you know, in my last Huffington Post blog, I talked about taming the inner troll. And what I meant by that was, you know, the self-criticism that we put ourselves through. And when we do that, we can get ourselves into a really bad mood just with those thoughts that we're thinking over and over again, negative thinking. And one of the most powerful ways of changing that negative thinking almost immediately without a lot of analysis and thinking about it and challenging it, one of the most powerful, quickest, most effective ways is to laugh. And whether it's laughing at the situation or laughing at something completely unrelated, just getting yourself to laugh changes your whole perspective about the situation. So if you can laugh at the absurdity, particular stress that you're going through, that also has a positive effect because it gives you a different perspective about it. You don't see it as such a huge issue. Many of the things that we get stressed out about are really not that big of an issue. We just allow them to become really gloomy and become all-encompassing. And if we can laugh at it, then that changes our whole perspective, and we realize that it isn't that big of a deal. That's why the best comedians are the comedians who take real-life situations that we've all experienced and situations that we have found to be extremely stressful or upsetting, and they turn it into something really absurd. And those are the comedians that get the most laughs because we can really understand what they're talking about. We can understand the stress we can relate to that. And then we laugh about it and we feel really good and say, wow, you know, it really wasn't that big of a deal. So, you know, there was a book that came out, and I talk about this a lot. If you've listened to this show, you've heard me talk about it before. Norman Cousin, who was an editor for a famous newspaper publication, he wrote a book called Anatomy of an Illness, and it was about his dealing with a very painful illness that the doctors told him was incurable, ankylosing spondylitis. Very, very painful. And he had a lot of difficulty sleeping at night. And, you know, the doctors said they couldn't do anything about it. So he went about finding his own way to deal with it. And what he found was that when he watched movies, now he had the old-time projector with the reel-to-reel movies, and he would watch Marx Brothers movies, and I believe the Three Stooges. Those were real big at this time. It was in the 70s, I believe, when he was going through this. And he would watch those movies for several hours a day and just laugh, just that belly laugh, because he found those to be funny. So you need to find what is funny to you. And he found those particular movies to be funny. And he would spend several hours a day laughing on purpose. And he found that for every, I believe it was every half hour of laughter, real belly laughter, he got 2 hours of painless sleep where he was able to sleep without waking up from pain. So when he laughed for hours, that meant that he got a full night of sleep without waking up from pain. And he eventually recovered from this disease. And the doctors told him that he could never recover from this disease. So they started looking into what could have helped him to recover from this incurable disease, and started researching the scientific benefits of laughter. And that's where the adage, laughter is the best medicine, came from. That became a really serious, you know, statement. And so the findings from all of that research found that laughter actually increases critical elements that boost the power of the immune system to defend us from illness, by reducing damaging stress hormones and acting as a protection from the dangers of stress. And they found that it stabilizes blood pressure, it massages your inner organs, it stimulates blood circulation, helps with digestion, and it increases the supply of oxygen to the muscles while decreasing muscle tension. So there's a lot of actual physiological benefit to laughing, really, really laughing, like belly laughing. They also found that a good belly laugh can even lead to the feeling of euphoria. And, you know, just as I was talking about a few minutes ago, that laughter interferes with that downward spiral of the energy zapping thoughts, where we think that everything is horrible and terrible, and as well as the draining thought habits and beliefs by helping us to notice the absurdity of the situation or to make light of a situation where we had been feeling angry previously or threatened by the situation previously. And it increases positive emotions like joy, hope, confidence, and overall well-being. So, you know, and this was found through research. This is very real. There are several journals now that are dedicated to laughter and medicine and laughter and nursing. It's used by nurses in hospitals and in nursing homes. I wish it was used more often. I've been to hospitals and nursing homes where I didn't see much laughter going on, but these journals talk about nurses who do go into hospitals and nursing homes spreading laughter in order to help the residents and the patients there to have pain relief and a more positive feeling. And, you know, if you're more positive, you are more likely to recover or from whatever illness you have. You know, having confidence and a positive attitude does help with healing, and humor helps with the positive attitude. Humor and laughter also have been found to enhance our creativity. It deepens relationships with other people. So if you've ever noticed that when you laugh with another person, that you start to feel a little closer with them. And maybe if you've been having some conflicts with that person, laughing with them kind of breaks the tension between you and helps to repair those conflicts, the interpersonal conflicts that you're having. It gives us a freedom from our tendency to overthink. It detoxifies the body, really detoxifies the body. So they have found that the tears that are produced by laughter are actually chemically different than the tears that are produced by sadness. So laughter tears contain more toxins that the body releases during laughter. So it's more of a detox than crying when you're feeling sad. When you laugh until you cry, you're actually cleansing your body of these poisons. It reduces physical pain by releasing endorphins in the brain. So that's probably what was happening with Norman Cousins, that when you laugh very hard for a period of time, you start to release those mood-elevating chemicals in the brain and pain-relieving chemicals. So, so laughter has the same benefit in terms of relieving pain and elevating your mood that meditation might have or exercise. So, okay, and here I just found that Norman Cousins reported 10 minutes of laughter, not a half hour, 10 minutes of laughter gave him 2 hours of pain-free sleep during his recovering. And laughter, in, you know, laughing until you're crying and really having a good belly laugh for a period of time has benefits that are similar to that of an aerobic workout. So it works out the diaphragm and it increases the body's ability to use oxygen, and it provides cardiac conditioning just from laughing. And so perhaps you wonder, how can I find humor when I'm in a very stressful life circumstance or I'm not feeling well? And, you know, in the midst of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln once stated to his cabinet, "Why don't you laugh, gentlemen? With the grave situations that are upon me day and night, if I did not laugh, I should die. You need the medicine as much as I do." So when you're feeling stress is probably the most important time for you to laugh. You know, as I said, it changes your perspective. So make it a point to laugh every day. Laugh at yourself rather than criticizing yourself for your mistakes. Look for humor in life's ironies. Look for humor in life's ironies. Watch a funny movie or a television show. Read a funny book. Keep a laughter journal with a collection of jokes and funny stories. Share a funny story with your friends. And as I said, if you listen or watch someone else laughing, it will help to make you laugh. So give it a try. The reason that the comedian George Burns lived to the ripe young age of 100 was that he saw humor in everything, including growing older. Once, when asked how long he planned to work, he responded, "I'm going to stay in show business until I'm the last one left." And he sure did stay in show business a long time, and he stayed healthy for a long time, and perhaps that was because he had mastered that skill of laughing. All right, so we're going to take a break and laugh a little bit. And when we come back, Tanya Anisimova, the cellist from in Washington, D.C., will be joining us, and we'll be playing some of her music. So don't go anywhere. We will be back. Music of Tanya Anisimova, who is joining us right now on the phone from Washington, D.C. Good evening, Tanya.
Good evening. Good evening, Dr. Mara Cartel. I've been enjoying your show from the very start. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, that's the miracle of modern technology. I was just visiting the website and listening to all the guests and you, and now I'm myself talking in the air.
Wonderful.
That's interesting.
So I just want to let you know, when we speak like this, there's a slight delay. So just so you know.
Yes, I'm aware of it.
What I was going to say to you is Svastika.
Oh, здравствуйте. Do you speak Russian?
Very little. I took it in college a long time ago.
Okay, well, your pronunciation is very good.
So, Tanya, maybe you can talk a little bit about your musical history.
My musical history. Usually when we say musical history, that would be the history of the Western music or, you know, classical Indian music or jazz.
No,
but
you're,
my Tanya Anisimova musical history.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I started playing cello when I was 7, but when I was 6, I was taught music appreciation class back in the USSR and really enjoyed it. We were singing and playing all these different marimba type instruments. So my music education started really early. And then when I was 8, I started piano. And then I was just talking to one of my friends the other day and said, you know what? I've been in school for 23 years. Can you imagine that? And the person looked
wow.
at me, wow, you still play music? You could have been hating it by now. But I don't. I actually enjoy it more and more. So, yes, I've been studying in Russia, and then I continued my studies here in America, and music is my life. So this is, and when you were talking about different, you know, when Dr. Greger started with a whole food diet, and then Grandma I. Joy continued with her wonderful and optimistic rap composition, and you were talking about humor. You were talking about humor and how it actually heals us and laughter. And I said to myself, right, and also good music that we listen to.
Yeah, absolutely.
The intake of really good music that we take, you know, when we listen to, not just hear the background, like elevator music, but the real good music. Like to me, it's the music of Bach, for example. When I listen to the music of Bach, whether I'm in a bad mood or a good mood or in a neutral mood, it always just there's a surge of right, you know, the right, the surge of good energy comes with it.
Absolutely.
And you know, it energizes me in a good way, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's why we have music at the end of all of the, our programs. Because it is very healing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, are you performing these days? You're based in Washington, D.C. Do you perform around Washington or
performing,
on tour?
I'm performing basically throughout the East Coast and also planning some international tours for the next season. And I'm composing music. I'm a composer as well. And I'm transcribing music that is not originally written for my instrument, which is cello. And I'm making it work on a cello, like the sonata that you just heard, the one that was aired, Locatelli Sonata. It originally was written by a violinist for a violin. And the cello version came later, but the version that I play is my own. So basically my career started as a career of a transcriber. I transcribed the violin solo sonatas and partitas by Bach. I transcribed them for cello, and it took me 6 years to complete that. So since then, I feel like I know Bach personally. <that's> hovering over me.
Did you just say it took you 6 years to transcribe that?
Yes, it did. It did take me 6 years to transcribe that, and I still and I perform them. I was also interested in what you said about your video, so that you're going to have it on Roku. You'll have your own television, which is fantastic, I think. And we're working in a parallel, you know, lanes here, because in Washington, D.C. here, in Silver Spring, Maryland, which is just outside of D.C., my video engineer, Jeff Gruber and his Brewhouse Productions recording studio and I just started a new venture, which is a virtual concert studio that is accessible globally. We played the first concert in this series on May 1st, and it was very well received. We had studio full of people who were also seen globally via live stream by other people around the world.
Wow.
Yes, and after the concert, and the concert was very interesting because me and my pianist, Pishan Shi, we call ourselves Farela Duo. We performed a new composition. We gave a world premiere of the piece for the first time, you know, by a Japanese composer, yes, Masatoshi Mitsumoto. And then after that, we played a very well-known work by Beethoven. And then after that, we played my piece, which is less known because it was just written last year. So we decided that we will have a series. It will be like a virtual concert series, basically, which will be also for the live audience, who will then ask questions, which they did on May 1st. It was followed by a discussion, and it, I think people really enjoyed it very much and want to come back. So it looks like there's a lot of potential there. I was glad to hear that you're working in the same direction with your show, which is great.
So can people see your concert if they're not in Washington, D.C.?
Exactly. That's what makes it so great, that people can be in Okinawa, they can be in Iceland or in Moscow, and they can still, if the time, of course, that's a time zone, right? So if you are, say, in Australia, then it's 13.5 hours, if you're, say, in Melbourne, right? Then you'll probably have to download the link, live stream link, and then watch it at your convenience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they can do it. But if you are not conflicting, say it's afternoon here, because we're starting, it'll be on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern time. So if, say, you are in Europe, then you're 6 or 7 or 8 hours away, in case of Moscow, then you're just sitting there in the evening and enjoying it.
Right.
Live.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
what is
the live stream link?
It's if you go to, there are two sources. If you go to Blue House Productions, then on Jeff Gruber is the director. On his website, there's the link with this event. But he is also going to improve the, you know, make it more high definition and upload it again. But right now the information can be seen there. Like, for example, if people want to tune in for the next show, they can go there, or they can go to my website and also get the information about the next show there, which is TaniaAnisimova.com.
Okay, okay. I'm going to post that on my web post about this show, so people can just click on it. Yeah, yeah. We're going to play another one of the songs that you, the pieces that you sent us. Adonai, is that the
Adonai
piece?
Adonai.
Adonai.
Yes.
Yeah.
Adonai. Yes.
Did you write that? Is that
yes, it's my
original
composition. Yes, I wrote it back in 2007 for my master conservatory professor Igor Gavrish. And he played it, and I performed it also in Moscow with the Russian Chamber Orchestra. It's for a solo cello and a string orchestra.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're going to play a little bit of it right now. So don't go anywhere. We'll come back and talk a little bit more.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, we're back. And that was Tanya Anisimova Adonai. So Tanya, if people are interested in downloading some of your music or coming to see you perform, do you have a calendar? Do you have a way for people to buy your music on your website?
Yes. My calendar, performances calendar, is on my website. And the music they can download on Amazon, iTunes, or I guess.
Okay.
They just find, you Google me, I guess the different places, different sources will come up.
Okay, great. Great. Any plans to come to Texas?
Oh, well, I would love to. Invite me, Mara, and I'll come.
Okay.
Yes, I haven't been to Texas. I've been to California and to state Washington, but not to Texas yet.
Yeah, Austin would be a great place for you to play your music.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have to keep that in mind. So thank you so much for coming on the show this evening.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Спасибо.
На здоровье, and спасибо to you. Thank you.
All right. You have a good evening, and I'd love to have you back on the show again sometime soon.
It will be my pleasure, Mara. Have a good
All
evening,
right.
too.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye. Well, we've come to the end of another show already, and I want to let you know what's coming up next week right here on Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years. Next week, Sunday, May 29th, we'll be back at 5 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and we will have another live show, even though it's Memorial Day weekend. So join us. It'll be an awesome show again. Yoga teacher Jill White, who is trained in the use of yoga for trauma and anxiety, will be joining us live in the studio to talk about the benefits of yoga for healing from trauma and for easing anxiety. And musician Tish Hinojosa will join us to talk about her music, and we'll be playing some of her original music. And Laura Galazunas reports in from the retirement paradise south of the border, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and more. And if you want to hear tonight's program again or read the information from the show and get the links to the websites that my guests spoke about, then go to my website. That will all be posted later tonight on my website, drmarakarpel.com. And also be sure to follow me on Facebook. And you can hear the podcast of tonight's program as soon as 5 minutes after this show ends. So 5 minutes from now, go to blogtalkblogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. This show was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald Revere, by Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, and by Story House. And special thanks to my guests, Dr. Michael Greger, Grandmama Ijoy, Tanya Anisimova, and of course, thank you, Art. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.